Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
So when Amanda is spending the night at my house, when I leave in the morning, she puts up the number of shows left in lipstick on my mirror. And today I woke up and it was 7. And then I heard that. There's something about this 7 number, I guess maybe because it's 7 is technically a week, mm-hmm. that it's getting me in the feels.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think that's... I figured that was going to come at some point.
Just wait until we hit 1.
Yeah. And we're working a lot in therapy on like not exiting emotions, which she called me out so good yesterday because I wanted to joke my way right through my therapy session. She stopped me right in the middle and she goes, you know what you're doing right now, right? You know exactly what you're doing. So I'm trying to sit in them, but that 7 number, I think because it's a week, has got me a little bit tight in the chest. Mm.
Thanks for joining us. We've been here for a while. Yeah.
Welcome, friend. Welcome to the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, the nostalgia is really hitting. All right, I was going to ask all of you guys how you're doing this morning, but Cassie came in hot when I asked her off the air. So let's start. Just dump it right now.
Today, it was one of those days yesterday, and it wasn't bad luck. It was just your quintessential bad day where everything goes wrong. And I don't think anybody could beat me on this, apart from like somebody dying. It was just one of those days where things kept getting thrown at me. I was tired. I almost got in a wreck. My coffee spilled all over me in the car. Like, things like that, right? Little things.
So nothing major.
Just enough to
a bunch of speed bumps. It's just annoying you.
Yeah, enough where it's like, at some point, you're like, can I get a break? And it all ended with I was rushing out the door to a doctor's appointment, right? And I had to get back fast because I had another project thrown on my plate. And then I had a couple of meetings. So I had a small window. So I like go downstairs to use my favorite bathroom in the lobby. Honestly, just a quick number one before I hit the road. And that bathroom is not heavily used, right? I'm normally very germophobic, but I just like sat down, did my biz and went. And I'm usually a hoverer and you can read into that. Uh-huh. I stood up, turned around and looked at the seat and it was covered in human feces.
Oh no.
It was dried, but I had sat in it and I about vomited into the bathroom. And then I'm like, I can't do anything. Like I started yelling. I'm like, people are disgusting. Like I was furious. I got hands up on a paper towel, scrubbed my butt raw, and I couldn't go home and shower because I had a hugely important meeting right after the doctor's appointment, and I had to pinch hit for a coworker who got sick out of nowhere and like finish the presentation and then present to a major sports team. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it with somebody else's poop on my butt.
Oh, my God.
And I was, and then I took my bad attitude into the doctor's office, and I was a real B-word to the receptionist. And then I came out after, and I apologized profusely. And I'm like, I don't want to be part of, like, the world needs more kindness. I don't need to be part of the problem. But I was like, but if you knew what had just happened to me, you would get it. Because I also lost my wallet. So I showed up to the doctor's appointment, and I'm like, cool, I'm ready to pay, tap to pay, except my phone's on 2% because for some reason the battery sucks. And my phone is also my car key. So if it dies, I literally cannot drive home. And I'm ready to tap to pay. And they're like, we don't have tap to pay. And I'm like, it's 2025. And so I just was like losing it. I was like, you know what? Yeah. Reschedule. I don't want to effing be here anyway. Like,
there are those days, man.
Man, if you get poop on a toilet seat, be an adult and clean it up. I'm not talking about if you sprinkle, when you tinkle, be a sweetie, wipe the CD. These are grown adults in this building.
How does that even happen?
There are consulting firms in here. Like, come on.
Yeah. And I have heard, not that I've seen it, that women's bathrooms are worse than guys are.
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I can neither confirm or deny, but based on that, absolutely. But my day was turned around when I came in this morning because I was very excited when I woke up to check one specific thing. Because yesterday was the launch day for Personality Hires.
Okay.
Abby Jackson, Mikey, and Rebecca's podcast. And of course, I had a whole strategy to get them charting. And they are number 29 in the United States in comedy.
Look at that.
Comedy?
Improv comedy, but in comedy, number 29, a top 30 show. You also charted in Canada, the UK, Australia, Singapore, Indonesia, New Zealand, Finland, Sweden, Ireland, South Africa, and the Netherlands.
Look at you. Look at you guys.
Shout out the Netherlands.
Look at you guys on your very first day. I mean, when you think of how many podcasts there are that could be in that category, mm-hmm. being in the top 30 on your first week, A, is amazing, and B, great marketing. But congratulations.
Well, thank you to Cassie for all your hard work, too, because we would have just been like, oh, yeah, we have new graphics and we're so happy to be here. But Cassie had a whole strategy for us. And so we were pushing for it to go out. So there's still time to listen. We can still chart even higher. So if you care about us.
And they're really funny. I don't like most podcasts, honestly, but yeah. I was laughing out loud at it. It was good.
Now, were you laughing at them because you know them, or as a new person that never heard them before, would you think it was hilarious? And I'm not asking a loaded question. I didn't hear it this week.
A new person. Like, I feel like I can, when I have the guffaw, it's usually because I guffawed at it because it's an out, like, you are so quick, Abby, with your Jackson or Mikey made a comment and you pulled a grease lightning retort right out your back pocket. And it was beautifully executed, but I definitely laughed out loud multiple times.
Every now and then, you should use that quickness in this studio.
I'm going to think about it.
Okay.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I'm going to need us all to pull up the Instagram for this Entertainment Buzz because the people are thirsting after a photo of Hillary Clinton, and I'm about to tell you why.
I saw that yesterday.
Did you see?
So
everyone, I'm going to ask you to pull it up because I swear this is not specifically political. It just happens to be a political figure. But the people are foaming and frothing at the mouth at this photo of Hillary Clinton after she just posted a montage of her and Bill Clinton celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. So she just posted a bunch of throwback photos and of course, all of the comments, people are immediately making judgments as to what actress nowadays should play her in some kind of biopic or docuseries or whatever. And they are two of some of the most prominent people in Hollywood right now. Do we have any guesses?
I saw them.
Did?
Yes, I'm not going to guess
not
on
even
this
fun.
One.
Well,
I haven't. I'm looking at them for the first time. And so I love that she is feeling comfortable to share these obviously very sentimental wedding photos from their wedding day, right? And you can tell, man, that this is the hair is 70s vibes all the way.
Right.
I'm thinking people are saying Sydney Sweeney.
So Sydney Sweeney is in the running. And then there's also one other blonde Hollywood gal. Can you take a guess?
Sabrina Carpenter,
yeah. Who is what I saw when I saw her. I mean, I think every time I see Sydney Sweeney, I get so distracted by her boobs that I don't even see her face. But I was looking at her. I'm like, oh, my God, I had no idea Sabrina Carpenter, who sings about getting knocked up and dancing around in her little underwear. I would have never paired her with Hillary Clinton until somebody pointed it out to me.
Age is tough, man. My kids, I don't know what we were looking at, but I was showing them pictures of me and their mom when we first met, and they're looking at him going, oh my God. And then Hayden goes, what happened to you? And I'm like, you're what happened to me.
Life happened. So yeah, people are making judgments that maybe Sydney Sweeney is going to be playing Hillary Clinton in some kind of biopic, or if Sabrina Carpenter ever wants to get off that stage and put down the glittery mic, maybe she can play Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah, I wish I saw Sabrina Carpenter, but I don't see it.
I do see the
Sydney Sweeney, and I think it's like the button nose.
Yeah. And she's blonde. And I think Hillary used to be blonde. And yeah, I don't know. Okay, so it's still spooky season. And of course, if you are still trying to get into the mood this weekend, you want to get your favorite spooky flicks out. And if you are into the astrology, if you like a horoscope or two, there is a list out that will tell you what your perfect spooky season film is based off of your zodiac sign. So I know, Bert, you're an Aries.
Indeed.
If you want to get into the spooky season, you got to listen or you got to watch Friday the 13th. Because this film's high energy and intensity resembles that of a fire sign.
I think that might be the only one that I think I saw that one and I'm like, okay, I saw it, I'm out.
Yeah, those are the Freddy Krueger ones, right? No, that's Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, it's Jason.
Jason, got it.
Kristen, you're a Cancer, so you want to take things slow with something like It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
That works.
Wow. That's your speed right there, man.
That so tracks. I have watched it, and I can co-sign on this.
This heartwarming and nostalgic movie is the perfect Halloween film for the sentimental water sign.
Yup.
Cassie, you're a Libra?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got to tune into the Rocky Horror Picture Show, because Libras can be as over-the-top as they are scandalous.
I've still never seen that.
Me neither.
I've heard it such, like, there's a Plaza Theater here in Atlanta that does a showing, and I've heard it's like such an experience to go because people sing along, they know the songs, they know the dances. It's kind of on my like low-key bucket list of something to do.
A lot of those are at midnight, and I should have done it years ago because I'm not staying up for a movie
for
midnight.
Okay, I'm never seeing it.
Also, I have a fear of showing up and not knowing what to do because I heard you have to yell back at the screen, and I'm just going to sit there and be like,
it's where you get popcorn. My mom full of popcorn and can't you. It's the prop.
And then for me, I'm a Taurus, and this is actually a film I've always thought about tuning into because it's, I think it's like a satirical film, and I don't like horror films because life is scary enough, but Scream, because Sidney Prescott's ability to remain calm under pressure is very aligned with this earth sign.
Scream is literally one of my favorite movies.
It is.
I mean, think what you want about me, the fact that it's a horror movie, but I watched it when I was young. I had to get permission from my parents because it was rated R, and it just stuck with me. And it is such the classic Scream is just such a quintessential slasher movie, but in a way that almost feels like a parody of itself. And there is a theme in there where there's like a movie nerd who keeps calling out tropes. It's really good.
Do you guys remember the first movie that you watched that really scared the pants right off of you?
Yes.
When you were younger, what was it?
And what's why I don't like horror movies or like scary movies. It's the Attack of the Killer Clowns.
Oh, really?
Yes. I will never forget this. We were in Auburn because a family friend was graduating from veterinarian school. We were staying at this hotel. It had a pool. I think I was maybe like 7, 8, something like that. And I went inside to the hotel room and it was on the TV and I sat there and I watched, and it was where they wrapped him up in like the people in cotton candy, like they were like spiders and they got wrapped up or something, and then they like sucked their blood out of it. Freaked me out to no end, and I've hated scary movies ever since.
I think the actual title is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Whatever.
I think mine, for me, it was the original Omen. Just that freaky music that they used to play, like the church music when someone was about to die.
The organ.
Yeah, that's what. What is that?
That's the freaky church music in the Omen.
It's the ghost coming after us.
Okay. How about you, Cass?
I feel like you guys are going to judge me because the slasher films, like, I've always been like, oh, that's not real. It's paranormal stuff. So honestly, Paranormal Activity, I was 24 years old and it scarred me for life because it was so... It was shot in a way that felt so realistic that it really, I couldn't watch horror movies, especially paranormal ones, for, I've only started watching them again.
I felt the same way about The Blair Witch Project.
Ooh, I've never seen it.
It's right there in the paranormal. It was such a, it was such a massive hit when I was in college. Nice. And again, it's one of those things. I remember being in Jeff Houchin's dorm room. He's one of my good friends. And we were there at the SAE house watching that. And I could not go to sleep forever.
It was all the camera movements on it. And it was like the most realistic one you've ever watched before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's the Omen.
Oh, there we go.
I mean, and you're watching this at 7 or 8 years old, and you just know somebody's about to get killed.
Yeah.
Or a neck is about to get snapped. Scarred for years.
I'm terrified. Yeah. I couldn't watch E.T. That's how scared I was as a kid.
It's not a scary movie.
This is how I should
have scary moments in it. E.T. is terrifying to look at. I'm like, what is that? Who is that? And this is how I should have known I was going to be diagnosed with OCD at a pretty early age. I thought if I... thought of E.T. in my head, if I was in a room alone, he would appear. So I would like think of E.T. and then I would have to like run out of rooms because I'd be like, E.T.'s gonna come and get me.
You can outrun E.T. though.
No, not at 4 years old. You don't know any better.
This is The Burt Show.
So in preparation for my identity crisis, once I leave The Burt Show, I am doing everything in advance to prepare for this, right? I said before that there's just no way, man. You can't be Burt Show Burt your entire life, and then it comes to an end on a Friday, and then Monday you're like this totally, completely different guy. It's not going to happen, right? Like, we got into this industry, if we know it or not. I mean, we wanted the praise. We wanted to say, hey, look at me, right? And now that I'm going to be retiring, there's not going to be a whole bunch of, hey, look at me. Like, I was joking with Amanda last night that when the Uber Eats driver, like, pulls up with some food, I'm going to say, hey, come on in. I got some jokes I need to say. Hey, you want to talk about Sabrina Carpenter? Hey, what do you think of the new Taylor Swift album, you know? So, in preparation for this and in doing the therapy work that I'm doing also, I'm really trying to, I'm going to focus a lot on really healing myself from the inside out. And I've never really had the opportunity outside of therapy, you know, like every week to do something like this. But it's like when you're talking about turning into like the guy that you always thought you could be but never have been, I mean, that's going to take some heavy lifting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to go out to Sedona out in Arizona anyway, because just really what I want to do for like the first couple of months is see beautiful S. That's all I want, right? First, I'm going home to San Diego, where that's just like so relaxing to me. I just feel so at peace there. And then I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking for awe, right? And Sedona does that because I couldn't leave the country. And yeah, and Sedona can do that. So I was just going to go out there and hang out and do Sedona-type stuff, which I didn't even know what it was, except look at a bunch of red rocks. And then somebody was telling me that that's like the healing capital of the United States of America. Kristen has done stuff out this way also.
Yeah, I mean, it's very spiritual. They talk about the vortexes and getting in touch and in tune with yourself. I haven't been able to make it to Sedona yet. That's on my bucket list. I have like a whole itinerary plan for whenever we, you know, we can do that, because I would love for my husband, myself, and our son to like go out west and do like Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and do Sedona and things of that nature. But I ended up going to a place in Tucson, Arizona, and it's a resort called Miraval, but it's a healing resort. So yeah, you can go and have a very posh time and enjoy the spa and enjoy the pool and just have like a girls' weekend, or you can get your hands dirty and really try to do some healing. So they have all kinds of activities, and there's Reiki, and there's therapists and classes, and if you really just want to like dig deep and figure out who the F you are.
Right. So I always have kind of a inner debate going on in my head. I was raised by two parents that were completely different. My dad was so ultra conservative, didn't believe in therapy, just like, you know what, put your head down, gut through it, right? And my mom, on the other hand, so incredibly liberal, man. She was a psychologist. She was constantly meditating, crystals, those big old beads around her neck. I remember all that, you know, just really into the woo-woo stuff. So I always kind of have this debate when I'm looking at stuff like this. I can hear my dad laughing at me, and I can hear my mom going, oh, son, that's so good that you're healing yourself now. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's mostly the stuff that you did to me.
Yep.
So here's my itinerary that I'm going to be going through, right? I told them right off the bat, because when you talk to them, they give you like a 30 or a 45 minute interview asking you exactly what your intentions are. Why are you coming here? And I told them that I'm about to have an identity crisis and a spiritual crisis. So, you know what? Can you help me with that?
I love that it's a preemptive crisis.
It's a preemptive crisis.
You know it's coming, but you're going before yes. It hits.
I absolutely know, because there's just no, I'm freaked out by it. Like, I'm really going to be able to face to face look at things that I have compartmentalized my entire life and allowed myself. I've lied to myself a lot over the years. I was talking to my therapist about this yesterday, that when things got stressful in my house, in my marriage, or things were going on with the kids, the first thing that I would do to escape that is I would go to the computer. I'd start researching stuff to do on The Burt Show. A lot of the stuff I would even catch myself going, you're not even working, man. You're just like escaping from what's in the living room right now. And I've kind of done that for like 25 years. And now I don't have that, right? So it's time to face some of this stuff. The one thing I told them is, I don't want to have this experience where people are beating on drums and we're dancing like a in the wind and listening to flutes and stuff. I just can't.
Oh, you don't want any pan flute while you're in Sedona?
They had a couple of those things on here. One of them was like shamanic healing, like with a, I don't even know what it was.
Is shamanic healing that thing that Betty White did in The Proposal? Where she's chasing around and she's like, to the window, to the wall.
This one. All I know.
is shamanic is one letter away from something real bad. That sounds a lot like demonic healing.
I don't think that's what I'm signing up for.
There we go. Thank you, Tommy.
See, now this by itself is fine. Meditate to this. I got no problem with breathing. Hold your breath. Breathe out. That's fine. But when they want you, like, to do the dances and stuff like that.
Okay, we didn't do that. No, that wasn't a thing.
And I don't even know if that was part of this, but I have seen it in movies before, and I'm like, that is too ridiculous for me.
Hiking, yes.
No problem.
Yoga, yes.
No problem.
They had, like, an obstacle course that you had to work with teams, etc. Equine therapy, yes. Like, it was all that stuff. I don't remember people, like, using their arms like branches, and they were swaying in the wind.
So one of the sessions, one of the first sessions, and they all look like mini psychological sessions with practitioners, they call them. And I'm not going to get into the whole job, the whole description of each one. But the first one is for anxiety and depression. I've never considered myself depressed, but when it came to doing this, I was always anxious about it. I mean, do you guys feel the same way? Like coming in every single day, making sure things are going to be great, you're delivering. It's always anxious here and outside.
Well, I have generalized anxiety disorder.
Right.
So my whole life has been nothing but anxious thoughts and anxious being. And my body has just like revolted against me.
Yeah, breathing gives me anxiety. Yeah. So I would say doing a show as well, for sure.
The job exacerbated it. It was always there.
Yeah, right.
The job just made it worse.
Even Tommy was shaking his head. Yes. I mean, there's always kind of that pressure because everybody in here is part of this show that cares so much that there's anxiety that goes into that, right? So I'm pinging with anxiety thinking of the show and pinging with anxiety while we're here, even though we're having a good time. So let's take 90 minutes and focus on that, right? This one should take longer than 90 minutes, and this has a lot to do with stuff in my personal life. There's a whole session on abandonment, and I went through that with my mom and my dad, so let's see what we can get done in 90 minutes when it comes to abandonment. Releasing stress and emotional massage.
They're going to, like, massage the stress or the emotion out of you?
I just saw the word massage, and I said, I'm up. Let's go. The other one is inner child healing.
Oh, no. You're in for a doozy of a time.
This is like the vacation itinerary from hell.
In some ways, yes. I mean, I would rather just be looking at the rocks, right?
You don't just want to go to the Amalfi Coast and eat pasta? That would heal me.
Doing that in June. Okay. Healing your relationship from within. That's another 90 minutes. Intensive breath work, letting go. My therapist yesterday warned me on this one that a lot of stuff can come up with intensive breath work. It's like a lot of really quick breaths in and out and in and out, and it takes you into some kind of weird place.
Are you prepared to cry?
I'm assuming that once I start crying, I won't be able to stop for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think is going to go on.
Because I had one of those like healing massages things or whatever, but it was a Reiki, it was a shaman Reiki, like medium, whatever. And it was an odd experience, but as I'm sitting there and he's practically like speaking in tongues over top of me and I have to hold these rocks, I just started sobbing.
Is that right?
Oh my God.
Really?
Yes. And there was no controlling it.
And this is the one that maybe I should double up on this one here, because this is really what I'm nervous about, is connecting with your authentic self. It's like,
what if you don't like your authentic self?
That's why it's scary, Kristen.
What if you're like, ooh, this person is gross?
No, because I'm longing for that.
Yeah, I know you are.
Because we perform for a living, right? A lot of what we do is performative. And even when we're not doing this job, when we're out in public, we still sort of have to perform. Our heads are kind of on a swivel. It's not like we're Justin Bieber or anything like that. But when people are coming up to you and you're in a conversation with somebody else, you kind of have to perform as Bert Showbird or as Abby or as a Kristen, right? And as I'm looking now at my life, I'm like, which part of it has really been authentic and hasn't been performative? And if there's a pie chart of that, I don't like the percentage of pie chart that has been performative. And I'm not exactly sure who the real me is at a lot of times. Like, what have I been doing for me? What have I been doing for other people? So I'm a little bit nervous about this. Like, I don't know who I've been Bert Show Bert for so long. Yeah, I've been a dad and I've been involved with Bert's Big Adventure. But at the core, if there's nobody to impress, who really am I? And I think that is my biggest concern.
Well, we have, obviously, we don't have the answer, which is why you're paying a buku bucks to go to Sedona and figure all this out.
Yeah, I hope they have some ayahuasca or something for you, because this sounds stressful.
I actually said that to her. I'm like, can we just skip all this stuff and get to the drugs?
But that's a good question, though. Will you be taking any, like, Delta 8, Delta 9? Are you going to, are you going to raw dog this experience?
You're not even supposed to drink the week beforehand, so I'm going to Sedona by myself. I'm not planning on having any wine, drinking, nothing.
Miraval had a bar.
It did,
after my love, loss, and letting go, you better believe I downed a bottle of Savvy B.
This is The Burt Show.
Kristen had a great idea to give the members of The Burt Show that are on here right now to relive their favorite parts of The Burt Show since they've been in here.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is putting in the work, even though we know the curtain is closing on October 24th. So it felt very apropos to be like, all right, guys, so what moment would you like to relive? Because this takes a team effort to make this show function at such a high quality. Every person who's on the air, every person who's behind the scenes. So that's we're reliving some of everybody's favorite moments.
So it's Amber's turn today, and you're focusing on the prank.
Man. You guys know that I am all about the paranormal. That is my thing, you know. So when the idea came up for us to prank the interns, Ethan and DeAndre, and take them to Lake Lanier, of all places. And we had another intern, Caroline, I believe it was her uncle's location or something. And so what they decided to do is they helped us prank them, and Ethan and DeAndre were none the wiser.
We told them we were sending them to a haunted house, right? It wasn't even haunted.
No, it was just we were searching for an Airbnb, but I think we just ended up getting another fellow intern's house, right?
I think the first one, they couldn't get to the location or it wasn't available, so they're like, let's call Lake Lanier. Like, oh, great idea.
So yeah, it was just for this was obviously for a previous spooky season, and Amber was all about it. She's like, I'll go, I'll record. And so we set things up to happen while they are at this house. But is the house haunted? No. But did we tell them it was?
Yes.
And yeah.
Here's a phrase that's complete BS for The Burt Show. I ain't scared of no ghosts. Yeah, we are. That's why all of us backed out on doing this and gave it to the interns. So the assignment was going to be, spend the weekend, or at least a night, in one of the most notoriously haunted homes in Georgia. We all thought about it for a while, and we're like, nah, not really into it. So we asked the producers off the air, and they said, eh, I'm not really into it either. And we said, well, we pay the interns very, very well in credits.
I saw intern DeAndre's face. He's like, how are you going to finish that sentence?
Not money, but they need the credits. So let's send the interns to the most notoriously haunted home in Georgia. A, see if they survive, because it would be really tough to find another intern this late in the semester.
Yeah.
And secondly, what happened in that house? So we did send a couple of our interns to this house. Before we even get into it, what is the history of this home in Georgia? Do we know exactly why it is so haunted?
Ed from Ghosts of Georgia Paranormal Investigations is here, and he can talk a little bit about the house.
Hey, Ed.
Morning, Bert. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing good. I see your intern survived that house.
Well, we sent two, and there's only one in here, so we're not exactly sure.
Okay, I jumped the gun on that one. But anyway, this house we investigated about a year and a half ago. It was built back in 1963, and we know that one of the owners had killed himself in the house.
Oh.
Also, it's on Lake Lanier.
Oof.
Most people know the history of Lake Lanier and the black community, how they flooded a town where the black community used to live.
This was a flourishing community back in the day.
Correct.
You'd have to look at the history of it. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of racism going on. Lake Lanier, if you're not familiar with Georgia history, there's a racetrack underneath this lake. There's a whole city underneath this lake that they just buried in water.
That is correct. And with your interns going in and you send them in and they're all black. Sorry about that. But I hope that
sorry that they're black.
Apologies. Sorry that you sent them in.
Oh, he's not sorry that you're black.
Dang, Ed might be the mayor of Lake Lanier.
Appreciate the clarity.
Oh, my God.
Man, let me clarify that.
Yeah.
We got you, Ed.
Thank you. It's early in the morning. It's way past my sleep time here, you know. But anyway, you know, we were kind of concerned about racism might be a factor in the investigation, and I haven't heard the results yet, so I'm really interested in finding out.
All right, so before we find out exactly what is found there, I just want to know from intern Ethan, who's on the phone right now, and from DeAndre, what did you guys feel while you were in there? Because in the places that I've spent the night that are haunted, you can feel an electricity. You can feel it, and then you turn around and you don't see anything. Did you guys feel any of that?
It's so weird because there was none of that. I felt safe throughout the night. You know, obviously it's on Lake Lanier, so I'm already on edge. But I think that's just because of the location of where we are.
Right.
But I didn't feel like not safe.
Okay, nothing. You were good.
I was chilling before it went dark.
Then when it went dark?
Then it went dark, I was like, okay, we had on some type of ghost hunting documentary.
Oh, yeah, we were watching the Blackwell Ghost documentary on YouTube. I was trying to get them into the paranormal experience, and that may have caused a few things to happen. My bad about that.
Yeah, that happened, and then all of a sudden, someone, it, who, him, there, and that. I don't know the pronouns, but they were there. And they made sure that we knew that they were there.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Dining room lights. I kid you not, y'all. It came on, came off. Came on, came off. Came on, came off. Three times. I looked at Ethan. He looked at me. I said, we got to go.
It was like a light Ouija board. It was answering their questions. The light would come on and off when they'd ask a question.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never heard of anything like this.
Ethan, did you experience that also? The lights going on and off and on. And how were you feeling when that was going on?
I was just in total disbelief. At one point, I dove under the dining room table because I did not know what was happening. It was just a lot. I mean, it was interesting to see what was actually happening, but I'm still honestly in just disbelief and trying to rationalize it in my head.
So you physically ran and ducked under a table thinking the ghost wouldn't find you there.
Yeah. I have that on video, by the way.
You do. So that was your logic there. It's like, he'll never find me under this table. I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. We could stop right there. Other than the lights going on and off, did you guys experience anything else?
Yes. Yeah. The thing that really got Ethan the most was the door unlocking by itself.
Come on.
That freaked him out because I didn't hear it at first. I went over there. I was like, well, we're in a haunted house. Let's go and unlock this door. Like, that's going to do something. It just felt safer. So I locked the door, looked out the window, and then I turned to say something to Ethan, and he's like, did you just hear that? And I was like, hear what? And he was like, I think that door just unlocked. And I was like, what? So I go over there, open the door, it's wide open. It's completely unlocked.
Ethan, this is the same thing that you experienced also?
Yes, because Amber went to lock the door. And I was like, okay, she just locked the door. And then I heard this little sound, the turning of the lock, because I have the same lock at home. So I'm like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be happening. And she opens the door, and I was like, okay, that's the problem. But I was still trying to figure out if it actually happened. She locks it again, and then it happens again. So I start freaking out.
Yeah, so you guys committed to this, because quite honestly, as an intern, I would have left at that point.
Done. Here's all talking about the door unlocking and locking by itself. This is probably their best reaction of the whole night from their EVP session at the house at Lake Lanier.
Okay, we're coming back. The back porch light, that's motion sensor, came on while I was in the bathroom, and Amber just locked the front door literally like was like two seconds.
It was locked. I just double checked to make sure that it was. And Ethan saw me check it. And then I was like, you were like, was the front door locked? I'm like, yeah, I just locked it. And then I tried it and it was unlocked.
Because I heard you know how it makes a little sound when it unlocks the little and then
I didn't hear that. Because when I said the door is locked, it's cool. And then you were like, are you sure the door is locked? And I was like, yeah, bro, look.
It just did it.
So as they're talking about it?
It unlocked.
As you're talking about it, it unlocks again.
Here's the thing. We started asking it questions. Oh, also the ghost like Britney Spears. Shout out to that.
That was weird.
What?
The spirit apparently is a fan of Britney Spears. Okay, this is what happened. At some point, you know, DeAndre loves to just sing random songs. And so one of them just happened to be Hit Me Baby One More Time. Mm-hmm. And we're both like, my lonely. We're just killing it, right? And then all three of us are singing and dancing, which is kind of weird. Three black people at Lake Lanier singing Britney Spears a cappella. So then, I don't know who was either Ethan or DeAndre played on their speaker. And so now Britney Spears is playing. And then there was a part where it says, give me a sign. And then all of a sudden, things just started.
Shut up.
I swear.
And then once he paused the music, you can hear like a fade out of like, give me a sign.
What?
Yeah.
So in that last clip we just played, you guys were talking about the door locking when the door locks again by itself?
Yeah, we screamed a little
bit. Wow.
So,
okay.
Then we cracked down on asking it questions about, because you know, Oscarville, that was Lake Lanier.
Uh-huh.
So something told me I need to ask and see who this man is. So I was like, hey, are you a resident of Oscarville?
Here's that part.
Are you a fellow black ghost?
Holy sh-.
So the light just turned off to that question. Is one of your businesses flooded under Lake Lanier? The light just cut on. Were you a part of the Black Wall Street?
That's crazy.
Okay, so we're hitting the spot now. We're hitting the spot. What was the town called? Look up the town. Look up the town. Look up the town.
So they look up the town. They figure out it's Oscarville, and then this happens.
Are you a resident of Oscarville?
That's insane.
Okay.
That's insane. This is amazing.
Are you proud to know that we have had a black president?
Dining room lights just turned on. Oh, okay.
Okay. And then this.
You are not allowed to follow us once we leave here. I want to make sure that that is known.
Okay.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Okay. He's flickering. All right, so he just gave us the confirmation like 5 times. He flickered on and off, on and off, on and off.
So, and we do know this ghost is a brother. So we approach.
Come on!
There's the light.
And then the light comes back on.
No, as soon as I said this ghost is a brother, I kid you not.
The light just shut on. So he liked
the light shut on loud and proud.
I'm a brother.
He said he's a brother.
And then one time, didn't you see the light bulb move?
Yeah.
Yes. So let me play the part.
Yeah.
No!
Okay. Oh, the light bulb moved. The light bulb moved.
The light bulb moved. No, it didn't.
It moved.
How?
This light bulb twitched. It twitched to the left. When it shut off, that light bulb just twitched.
So, Amber, let me ask you this. As somebody that does this as a side job, I mean, because you have mm-hmm. an app and you have a YouTube channel mm-hmm. That does this all the time. Have you ever overtly been able to speak that clearly and get answers in real time like this?
Yes, but only if I'm using a spirit box or a necrophonic app. I have heard real time responses in my ears before, but it's really cold when that happens. But I have, but I gotta tell you, having it this incessant was new to me. I had never experienced something that was just happening so much. It was amazing.
All right, there's a couple more that I want to play. I want to play one more thing where the spirits were definitely showing out.
So far, the spirits have been showing out from the front door to the outside light, the living room light.
If you're not okay with us being here, can you give us a sign for that?
Oh.
Okay.
So for reference, the door just twitched, light shut off, shut back on, and came back on. I don't think we're wanted.
This is crazy, man. I mean, wow. Just to see it in real time like that over and over and over again.
So Ed combed through this audio, and we only got one EVP. And it's one of the best, most clear EVPs I have ever heard. And I think Ed would agree that he's ever heard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You guys ready?
Yeah. If you're here, can you give us another sign?
This has all been a prank.
You guys, the house, yeah. The house was never haunted. We sent you guys to a house. We got to tell you what we've been doing to the house while you're there.
Let me give you the real history of the house. So our former intern, Caroline, is an Airbnb entrepreneur, and hers was booked. So we got her mother-in-law's Airbnb on Lake Lanier, and they have total control of the Alexa of the house. And she had control. Amber was in on it. She dialed her up so that she could hear everything you guys were doing, so she could respond when you asked questions.
I'm so sorry.
And she could turn the lights on and off. She could lock and unlock the door. Just be glad she went there the morning of before you guys got there. The fireplace is also controlled by Amazon Alexa, and I was hoping that it worked, but the motor was burned out. But the lights and the locks,
that's
definitely got
crazy.
You. It was all a prank.
Well, here's one thing I have to say, Tommy, because at one point, Ethan said, if that back door locks, that's weird, because that lock is not controlled by Alexa. That door right there also unlocked. And I don't, honestly, that wasn't part of the prank. I don't know how that happened.
I haven't talked to Caroline. She talked about sending her husband, they live right down the street.
And oh, yeah, they're banging on the windows and
she
stuff.
She talked about sending them up there and banging on the windows and doing stuff. So
they were banging on the windows.
Remember, that's why Ethan didn't sleep in his room, because somebody was knocking on the window. He slept on the couch the whole night. And then the next morning, I go to get my bag, and Ethan is standing on a chair taking photos of, like, the light bulbs. And he's like, I just wanted to see there was, like, a model number so I can figure out what's going on here. Because he's a Georgia Tech kid, you know what I'm saying?
So, Ethan, knowing that this whole thing was a prank and you diving underneath a table to get away from Amazon Alexa, are you okay now?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the night that it happened, I was with you. I was like, oh my gosh, there's a ghost here. What is going on? But as I like took the night to like calm down, and I was like, okay, let me think about this for a second. I have that same lock at home. I know my mom, she can use the lock from anywhere. Like, I've called my mom, like, hey, I need you to like lock the door and unlock the door for me while she's at the office. So I'm like, that makes sense to me. That's why in the morning I was like, all right, let me look at these light bulbs, try to figure out where they're connected to. Are these something that can connect to the internet? And that's why I wanted the model. Yeah,
we even hid the Alexa and muted it so you wouldn't hear it.
DeAndre has this look of hatred in his eyes.
He is so funny.
I came up with Tommy, and I was just like, Tommy, I don't know. I've got a feeling it's like, it's all too good to be true. Were y'all scheming something? They're like, no.
I'm a great actor. I don't know what to tell you.
I thought we were better than that.
I'm so sorry. I love you.
That was pretty impressive. All right, we're back now.
It feels good to laugh. I mean, to cry because of something funny.
Yeah, right? Hey, you know, I've said this to you off show, and now I'm going to say it on show to you also. What a stellar example of somebody that gives and gives and gives to this show. You have been moved around on the Burt Show. We've had to make financial cuts, and you've had to fill in for other people, and you have always stepped up. No questions asked. It's like, hey, anything I can do to help out.
With a smile on her face.
Always with a smile and a big old laugh. So thank you for everything that you've done for us.
Anytime and always.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.